Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, I need to ask you a question. I want to know, why in the hell are you not on Patreon? I don't think you guys even realize how much content we have on Patreon. Let me break it down for you. We have the Bunny XO show. We have Meet the Defords. We have Popaganda. We have a cooking show that's coming. We have more shows that we're adding. And not to mention, we have the visuals of the podcast. Not only that, we have 4 tiers that caters to everybody's budget and everybody gets the podcast. There's no more excuses. Stop listening right now and head over to www.patreon.com/dumblondpodcast and sign up. Stop missing out. We have built a huge community over there, guys. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people over there. We even have live chats that I actually am talking in every single night. I'm in there just confessing all of my sins to you guys. I mean, it gets a little ridiculous. Last but not least, we give away gifts every freaking month. I'm talking like signed stuff from Jay and I, lives. You just never know what kind of surprise you're going to get. It's like a Cracker Jack box. I love the community that we've built over there at Patreon. If you are already a Patreon member, I freaking love you, dude. Thank you so much. From my sideshow tier to the carnival tier to the ringleader tier to the main attraction, you guys are my babies for life, my writers. If I could, I would literally make out with each and every one of you. I love you guys so much. And that's a lot of kisses, actually. Gotta go back. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit. And I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child. And here we are.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today, we have the one, the only, Bam Margera and his girlfriend, Danny Marie. What's up, guys?
What up?
I know, so excited to be here. I think she says the F-bomb more than me.
I do. I am constantly cussing.
It's people my favorite
get so
word.
Mad at me. They're like, why do you say fuck? I said, because intelligent people cuss. Mm-hmm. It's what we do.
Yep. I love it. It's like my favorite word. When I heard your first podcast, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. Aww. I don't have to think before I say that word.
I love that. What have you guys been up to, Bam? What have you guys been doing?
We've actually been on the road. We met 8 months ago, and for about 6 of the months, we've been all over the place. Texas, New Mexico, Florida, South Carolina, Indiana, made our way down here, and we've just been enjoying the road trip. We have 2 dogs, and soon we'll be making our way to California, but we have been booking a lot of Comic Cons and Horror Cons just because, you know, we've been doing so well at them, and I've been in treatment for the longest Florida shuffle you could call the Guinness book, because it was like 2.5 years at $660,000.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that later, because yeah. I did research a little bit of that, and I'm telling you right now, I preach it on my podcast nonstop. The mental health system in America is fucking broken. Yeah.
Whacked.
Yep.
Like, and especially in Florida.
Yeah, it's so bad. I want to let everybody know at home that since you've walked in here, you've literally had like a smile on your face. And that makes me happy, because, you know.
Why wouldn't I? Look at this eye candy.
Dude, she's hot. I was hitting on her when you walked out. I was like, hey, baby, you are fine,
yes,
girl.
We are. Fine girls in here.
You manifested her, though. I heard on an interview that you manifested her.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was pretty much, I checked into the Sunset Marquee in Los Angeles, right on Hollywood Boulevard. I was just over everything. I have five lawsuits, a custody battle that is never ending. I'm just spending all my money on that. I just got three of my credit cards stolen, and they all racked up $20,000 on each one. The last one was a stripper from Spearmint Rhino who racked up $20,000 in a nightclub in one night. How do you do that? That means every valet, very don't carefully. Know those guys, but I'll pay for them. Don't know that crew, but I'll pay for their bottle service. How? $20,000 in one night at one nightclub? Come on.
Well, I worked at a strip club, so that's very easy. As a bartender, you can get all your girlfriend's drinks, and there's the $20,000.
So, absolutely. So when I checked in, I got a whole bunch of drugs, and I was like, I really just don't even care to wake up, and if I do, F you, God. So the next morning, I'm like, man, I'm awake. Fuck. I'm like, all right. I'm going to go to the pool bar. You better deliver me the hottest eye candy. I want a tan pit bull and A cup tits. because my prior girlfriends, they always talk me into buying these fake boobs, and they were always rocks, and they always say that they'll settle down within a year, and then 3 years goes by. I'm like, they're still rocks. I want to chop them off. They didn't massage them properly. So when I went to the pool bar, I ordered a drink, of course. And I overhear somebody talking. Listen, I'm 43 years old. I was born in Jersey. I'm Sicilian and Irish. I'm like, and I look over. I'm like, wow, who's Sicilian Irish? I'm Sicilian Irish. I was born in Philly over the bridge. Who are you? She's like, I'm a stretch coach. I'm like, and she's like, I have to go home and walk my dogs. I'm like, what kind of dog? A tan pit bull. I'm like, thank you, God. I've been saved. And I was on a mission. And you know, the doctor told me in 2013 that my legs were like dry rotted rubber bands from alcohol abuse. Mm. And he was pretty much like, good luck trying to skateboard again, which is what my passion was. I've been pro since I was 17. And because of that, it just made me drink more. So when I met her, she's like, don't listen to him at all. I stretch you an hour a day and you're going to get your legs back. And sure enough, they're like 100% again. Mm. Every day. First thing we do is stretch, walk the dogs, and then I'm out looking for a skate spot.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. What was your first impression of this hot mess over here?
A hot mess.
We were actually looking at photos today. I mean, it's so hard to even say how it connected, but it was... I was invited by somebody who I didn't really know, but it was the Hollywood scene, you know, and later found out wasn't the best crowd, but I showed up by myself. My friend Heather, call her out. She couldn't make it that day, but that's okay. I went alone and, you know, I didn't know anybody. And she sent me this text that was like, celebrities are here. I hate that, of course. But my mom's like, well, I'm literally fighting myself because I lived in Koreatown. Couldn't find parking. It was a disaster. So to leave your house in Koreatown is a big deal. You have to take an Uber. It's just
anywhere in fucking LA is a nightmare, dude.
So I'm like, is it really worth going? Like, she's already dropped a celebrity name. Like, who knows if whatever. So my mom's like, well, you didn't go to LA to stay in bed, blah, blah, blah. So she put a little firecracker in my ass.
Yeah.
So I got dressed, put on my little LA hat, and then I went to the pool party. And of course, how some girls can be, they weren't, you know, being very friendly once this one and I started talking. I do remember him kind of coming over, but I was alone, blindfolded, and just wasn't really wanting a date at the time. I just got out of something really shitty.
Did you know who he was?
I remember, like, they were like, Bam Margera is here. I'm like, Bam. I'm like, you know, they're like, oh, Jackass. I'm like, oh, okay. But we are the same age, so it wasn't like I was really watching it every day. Like,
right.
I hate to bring up ridiculousness, but how it's like constantly on the TV, you know, like you can't get away from it. Mm-hmm. So I knew, but I didn't really know, you know, the whole
story
type of Bam.
Right.
So when we interacted, you know, the girls, as they know who they are, had kind of like pushed me towards him because they weren't being bullyish, but they weren't being friendly because the one girl had taken a shower with him the day before.
Oh.
So
did you even remember that, Bam?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Because he was fucked up. So you got to ask. I did a lot of shit when I was fucked up that I don't remember, you know?
So basically they just...
His face is turning three shades of red right now. I don't think I've ever seen you blush.
He admitted it. I mean, at least he told me. And I'm like, okay, well, are y'all like dating? Because I'm single. It's LA. Like, whatever. And we just had fun. Like, we ended up going, I can't even tell you where. It was just some little place in LA. It was like a strip club of some sort that was completely packed.
Were you using then or were you sober?
No, I haven't. Okay, so we'll get into all that. But I was a drinker. I mean, I've had my share of things. Yeah. I've been a model since I was 14. So I've definitely partied, lived in Vegas, lived in LA.
Same.
But for me, I won Miss Bikini. I went through, okay, so 2019, I had an ankle surgery, which was mortifying. I lost my 14-year-old dog, and then a 10-year relationship ended, all within like a year. So I went through a really bad time. I was drinking a little too much, started drinking more. And then, you know, I started getting sick, like literally sick and in the hospital. I was getting alcohol poisoning is what was happening. Mm. And I just didn't want to tell anybody that I knew when I was throwing up what was happening.
Because you're so, like binge drinking.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, rosé starts at 10 a.m. And then before you know it, it's 8 o'clock at night. And you know, it's just.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Bad. Just I was going down a bad, bad path. I was getting after the breakup. I hung out with the wrong guy. He was younger than me. And I started doing bad things again. And then just really nipped it in the butt and just had to break up with a lot of people. So yeah. I ended up entering a bikini contest and didn't realize how intense it was. But I was already in it. I couldn't pull out. Mm. I wanted to because it was like. Like, I'd rather just have another cocktail and go whatever. So right. I ended up placing fifth and I stayed serious that whole like 4 months of training for the bikini. So once I started to get away from the alcohol, I just quit completely. So aww. I really haven't been drinking since 2021. But when I went out to LA, it was like yeah. a couple drinks here and there. But then I'd. You know, when you're not drinking, a couple drinks will get you buzzed.
Oh, absolutely.
So that was the day, like, I was in an F it mood, fuck it mood, whatever. So I was drinking at the pool that day.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. The connection was obviously there because as a person, you know, and the alcohol helped me kiss him a little bit. You know, a little yeah. makeout bandit. We were FaceTiming we Jessica. All
day. She's still committed to the gym at 5 a.m. the next day and dropped a 40-pound weight on her toe and
I broke my foot, basically.
Oh, my God.
I, like, shattered the toe. And then I wake up the next day and I'm like, damn, I think I made out with Bam. Like, I woke up, like, the dogs are like, where were you for 7 hours?
So yeah, like I was getting I railed.
Up, yeah, feeling rough. And then I remember, like, wanting him to call. Like, no. I really wanted him to call. I was like, oh, it's already 4 o'clock. He hasn't called yet. That's weird. So something inside told me to take a shower, which I did. And I'm laying in Koreatown. And of course, the phone rings. And he's like,
not from my phone because the stripper stole it as yeah. well as my credit card. So I called randomly from a number that had South Carolina area code, which is where she's from.
Yeah, I grew up in Charleston. So it's 843. I'm like, where are you?
Poor Bam. Bam got his card stolen, his phone yeah, stolen.
He was a hot mess that weekend.
I don't even know if you know this, but then I saw this psychic lady who basically told me to be a yes man, say yes to everything. So I'm going to see my shaman.
Oh, that's not. Don't tell Bam that.
No, I pull in with the Bentley to this gas station in Vista, California, because my phone died and I didn't know how to get to his house, so I had to charge it in the gas station. So as soon as I pull up, these M13 gangsters with their tattoos, face and everything, they go, yo, you Bam from Jackass? I'm like, yeah. They're like, can we get a photo? I'm like, yes. And they're like, can we sit in your car and get a photo? I'm like, yes. And they're like, yo, man, this thing must be fast. Can we go around the block and whatever? I'm like, yes. So then we go around the block and we're cracking jokes. And then I park at the gas station knowing that my phone's still charging. And I'm like, hang on, guys. And I leave the car running. I'm like, I got to go get my phone. They're like, all right, cool. So I go in and I'm like, hey, ma'am, can I get my phone? They're like, she's like, I gave it to your friend. I'm like, what friend? I'm from Pennsylvania. I don't have any friends here. She's like, well, I gave it to somebody. I'm like, you gave my phone away? I was forced to call 911. So three cop cars pull up and I guess they were all larried up on whatever, but they thought it was for them. So they took my car show up, not knowing that it's for me and my phone. It had nothing to do with them. This guy just got out of jail for 5 years for guns and drugs, and apparently he had guns and drugs on him. So he took my car. I walk out, there's three helicopters in the sky, and I hear from Officer Bentley, I'll never forget, Bentley's been crashed in the house. I'm like, awesome. And I didn't want to press charges because I don't need these guys after yeah. me. I tagged that I'm at the Vista skate park. Next thing you know, I'm getting drive-by shooting. So ate the cash on that as well.
Well, I had no idea about that. So
why do you think this shit happens to you all the time, Bam?
Because I listened to a lady say yes to everything that day.
There has to be some level of discernment in your gut, though. You got to be like, no, maybe I shouldn't be riding around with these guys.
I don't understand that one.
It was just like she just said it. So the first thing that just say yes to everything. Yo, Bam, can we get a photo? Yes.
What was her point yeah. in this? I would love to talk to her and just yeah. be like, what was your point? Why do you think telling Bam Margera to say yes?
She's one of the ones who spent $20,000 on my card.
Oh my gosh.
So
was she a stripper psychic?
No, she was a psychic. And then the stripper was next, and then a buddy.
Was the psychic in the strip club?
He had a tiny bill. No, it was not.
Okay, so they're totally unrelated.
Then my buddy was recording at Sun Studios in Memphis at Elvis's place, and he had a small bill to pay, like $3,000. So I gave him my credit card information because the label was going to pay it back. He gets so drunk that night that he spends $20,000 on sunglasses and jackets. on my card and doesn't remember doing it.
It sounds like you're surrounded by a lot of people who
And he's so broke, I think he has a payment plan of like $50 a month, which will take eternity to pay off.
Well, that's why you're attracted to Bam, because Bam is funny all of the time. Yeah. So it's never a dull moment with him. And, yeah. And it was like that, you know, people always, you know, he's not drinking anymore, but he's just elevated and it's just funnier. Not that we want him drinking, but he's not like a bad drunk. Yeah. I mean, he's fun. He just gets funnier.
Yeah.
So that's where the attraction definitely happened. I mean, who doesn't love a guy or a girl or whomever you're with?
Yeah, that makes you smile. Oh, I love funny guys. Right? That's why I married my husband.
Yeah. So like we died rolling all night long. And I just remember like really wanting him to call the next day. And then once he called and said, do you want to go for pizza at the Rainbow Room? I'm like, the Rainbow Room has pizza? Yeah. He's like, it's the best
That's
pizza.
Jay's favorite fucking place. It's so forever in LA, I'll call you guys. Yes. Because Jay, last time for the Grammys, he went and rented out the Rainbow Room and got shit-faced and then swam in the pool or swam in the fucking fountain at the fucking Beverly Hills, whatever the fuck we were at.
So on our first date, I really wanted to know, but I was just doing small talk. You know, I'm like, I just got to know, how are your teeth so perfectly white? She's like, because I brush my teeth with your dick. I'm like, rock and roll, I love you.
That was after he had tortured me in a funny way for 2 days.
Like, I know how to handle somebody like you and your
I was like, I can keep up with you. So it was cute. It was just like the Rainbow Room pizza. And then honestly, Bunny, like, it just, I never left.
That's how it happens. That's how Jay and I were. Once you meet that soul partner, that soul connection, it's just like, it's like fireworks, and you guys are just together.
Well, I was in my turmoil of being over it. I was ready to just check out. I didn't care unless I knew she was the runway away, and I asked what happened to her. She's like, I had to flee the scene in Miami. I was dating a professional baseball player who was very abusive, and I just packed up the dogs and I just hit the road, and LA was my destination. And you know, he saw a photo of like us and Us Weekly holding hands in a little tabloid thing with a purple dress on. He's like, I'm coming out there. I'm going to find you and like hunt you down. And this, I believe that he died of a fentanyl overdose in Texas on the way here.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she just knew that if she stayed in that relationship, it was not going to end well.
Yeah. He wasn't a good guy.
How long were you guys together for?
It was, you know what? If we ever write a book, it'll just be The Booty Call Gone Bad.
Oh,
is what it was.
Fuck. That's the worst.
It was like the first guy I slept with in 9 years. So it was just like.
Wait, you didn't have dick for 9 years?
Well, I was with somebody for
Gotcha. So okay. I was like, wait a second. How did that work?
But he was like the first after the ex. So it was just, you know, he was a professional baseball player and he just was, you know, rest his soul. Because we don't want to send bad energy in the air.
Yeah.
But he was like dating multiple women who one of them I'm not
friends with. At the funeral, all the girls were like, who are you and why are you here? Well, I'm her boy. For how long? 9 months. What about you? 9 years. What about you? 2 years. Yeah. What about you? Like, there's
how athletes are, though. Yeah. Athletes, musicians, like, that's the whole. You know, that's the whole game that
I'm
they play.
I'm surprised it didn't wind up being one big brawl with a bunch of chicks.
But he doesn't understand. Like, sometimes the world doesn't understand that I wasn't really happy in L.A., though. Because if you go back to L.A., no offense to L.A., I love L.A. I lived in L.A. when I was 19 to 20.
Yeah.
And it's just changed. So,
I always tell everybody, Los Angeles has lost its sparkle.
It really has. Yeah. It really has.
Back in like 10, 15 years ago, that place was fucking just like
money.
The glitter everywhere, you know? And now it's like, it has no soul.
And another thing is like
no soul.
You could barely get a one bedroom, one bath with no land near the beach of Santa Monica for $4 million or whatever. Out here, you could have 20 acres. Yeah. You know what? If you're so obsessed with the beach, just buy a nice pool, put a sandbox next to it. Call it a fucking day.
Yeah. Are you guys gonna move to Nashville? If I had to think of a time I personally smelled my worst, it would have to be after one of Jay's concerts, an outside concert at that. My right armpit was ripe for the pickings, smelled like beef stroganoff. I kid you not, it was rancid. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, BUNNIE, at LumiDeodorant.com. And that's LumiDeodorant.com. I personally freaking love Lumi. I have every scent. My favorite one is the toasted coconut, though, because even when you sweat, it still smells so good and so yummy, and you feel like you're on a tropical island. But I promise you guys, any sort of smells you could possibly have, Lumi will cover it up. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, BUNNIE,
for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at L-U-M-E-D-E-O-D-O-R-A-N-T.com. We all know there are things in life you have to compromise on, like going out instead of staying in or eating fast food instead of cooking at home. But when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist, and these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. I know the next time I need a doctor, I'm definitely logging on to ZocDoc. Go to ZocDoc.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E, and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E, ZocDoc.com/bunny.
We don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to figure out what the best place is.
Yeah.
Because he needs to be close to Phoenix. I just need great girlfriends, some water, and some sun.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of water and a lot of sun here except for in the summertime. Right. I'm a Vegas girl. I'm a West Coast girl, too. It took a long time for me to get adjusted here. But once I did, Nashville is like L.A. but with a soul. And it's like your peace. Like, it's like everybody here is just so sweet and welcoming and loving. And
Southern
like,
hospitality.
It's so healing.
That's
here.
What I love about little towns like this and in Westchester, Pennsylvania. If you're a bartender, you're just simply happy being a bartender.
Yeah.
If you're one in Los Angeles, you are just simply trying to make ends meet until your big break of becoming a model or an actor or whatever it is. And everybody's so fake that I just did a test with a friend because we were at a party. I'm like, just watch this. Yo, Ben, what are you up to? Oh, I'm actually got to do Jimmy Kimmel because Jackass 2 is coming out, which was true. And they're like, dude, we got to work together. Next person that comes up, yo, Ben, what are you up to? I actually just flew myself out here with my own money and I'm kind of looking for work. You got anything going on? They're like, good talking to you, pal. Like, if you're up to something, they all want to be a part of it.
That's
and if
terrible.
You're not, then it's just, it's really fake town is what it is.
No, it is. It is. It's definitely gone down the drain in the past few years. So let's circle back to how are Phil and April doing? How's your relationship with them?
Well, I just realized that right now it's just a good time to just back off and time, because they were a part of the whole treatment thing. Like, I got a guardian just like Britney Spears, and her only answer to everything was lock me up and throw away the key, put him in treatment. And I knew that was not the
Lima.
Way.
That's the Lima girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like
Lima.
Yeah.
Lima.
And her last client, Amanda Rabb, she faked the autopsy report. They did research and found out that she died in the care of her own hands of having a seizure. And I've never had a seizure in my life until I met her. I went into 5 of them in a row. And the last one, I couldn't breathe on my own. I woke up 8 days later on a fucking life support tube with COVID and pneumonia.
That's wild.
So, like, I had to, once you get Marchman acted or Baker acted, it usually happens in Florida. That means that you have to do 90 days in treatment. And if the interventionist knows that you have good insurance, they will find reasons to keep you there for eternity. So
right.
I'm like 88
scam.
Days in, and I'm like, I get two more days, I get out, hip hip hooray. Then he walks in, he's like, you've been rocking those same shorts for like 3 days now. I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying to get any pussy around here, I don't care. They're like, that's bad hygiene, you're doing another 90 days at another place. Then I'll do 88 days at another place, flick the cigarette out into a bush. They filmed it smoking like any cigarette would smoke. It was not on fire. They're like, you could lit the whole national forest on fire, you're doing another 90 days another place. They just kept doing it and doing it and doing it.
It's called body snatching, basically.
Straight up body snatching.
It's the insurance.
Yeah.
They just toss you through.
Yeah.
You know.
And I realized that there's nothing that you could do to get out there. They will find
once you're in the system.
So I did everything right. Am I better now? You know, we're gonna keep you here for another 90 days. For what? I've done everything you've asked. I've been here for 2.5 years. Get me the fuck out. And when I did got out, I appreciated life a lot more. I'm like, I'm in a car. It's a convertible. There's the beach. I'm in a fucking Starbucks outside talking to
or
you.
Or just the music. They can't even hear music.
I listen to music. I had no interweb, no fucking music, no TV. A little bit of TV. But it was just terrible.
Well, let's rewind. So you feel like April and Phil had something to do with the, was it a conservatorship that you had?
Yeah, I guess guardian ad litem, but
it isn't a guardian. Did they hire this guardian lady? So basically,
where did she come from?
She got hired from Nikki's brother. They all teamed up on me and said that he needs to go away for a long, long time. They talked my parents into it by like saying, $500,000 is a lot of money, but if you don't write this check, you're going to be real sorry when he's 6 feet in the ground, you know, making my mom feel really bad about it. So she just got talked into this. And then Lima has such a nice voice that she could pretty much con anybody into anything.
Well, is she an interventionalist? What do they call those people?
She tried to like create rehabs and stuff. If you look up her, I try not to talk about her too much because she's listening to everything and I don't care if she hears me today. It's about time she does.
But it's if you're
I would have been
truth,
dead if I would have kept doing what she was making me do. And she was making me say things like, I was in the longest Florida shuffle. It's a fact. It's called a shuffle. She's like, Bam, there's no such thing as a Florida shuffle. You have to do a statement saying that you didn't know what you were talking about. And I really went on. She like forced me to do it. Like, hey guys, I know I was talking about the Florida shuffle, but I don't know anything about it or what I was talking about. And I was not in the Florida shuffle whatsoever.
Lies.
How did she get
like,
integrated?
I was definitely in the fucking Florida shuffle. I was in 13 different treatment centers at 90 days apiece. And one of them was 220. It's called a shuffle. Right. They kept me in there. For why? For no reason. I already know the alcohol is good and it's not any bad. What do I have to do at the next class? Learn that alcohol is bad and it's not any good. I'm very aware of that. What are you going to do when you get out? I'm going to sip on a White Claw because fuck all y'all.
So Nikki and her brother hired this girl.
Yeah.
Okay, this woman. And she came in and pretty much just like took over your life. And
completely.
5150'd you?
The answer to everything is, 5150 me. And, you know, is what hurts the most is that this chick, very good friend of mine, BJ Investigates. It's also called The Surprise Witness. She does a podcast.
Surprise Witness.
She decided to buy every 911 call of me or that I've done. Body cam footage, every document, every house I bought and sold, every car. She just wanted everything. Why? Because she just wanted to find out the truth. She knows that something shady was going on. And when we looked at the body cam footage, my aunt Missy, my mom, they were all in on it. I'm like hiding in a hotel and then all of a sudden the police show up. I'm like, are you in on it? My mom's like, Bam, I have no idea. I have no idea about it. Then as soon as I get handcuffed and taken away, she's talking to the cops like they fucking arranged this.
Well, the aunt Missy or whoever she is was like, tell them I'm not here. When you watch it, you'll cry. I can't watch it because it shows betrayal from family and completely. I can't watch it. I was crying through like the third one. Aww. And BJ is a very good friend of ours. They don't like her because she's speaking the truth.
Yeah. Right.
And she's uncovered things that he was too fucked up to realize. Yeah.
And you can't deny physical body cam proof, which is what she has, right, and documented proof. So BJ doesn't know what she's talking about. Yes, she does, because
she's
it's
also
documented
a
in the court of law.
She's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer, yeah.
So, okay, circling back, I'm sorry I had to cut you off in such a crucial moment, but that betrayal has got to be fucking traumatic.
Yeah, and if my mom is able to say that, for a whole year, she's like, Bam, I swear, I had no idea about it. And then a year later, BJ got the body cam footage. I'm like, what do you have to say about this? Well, Bam, we didn't know what to do. It's like, but you lied to me for a whole year. Like, I think you even swore on your whatever's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What were you using a lot then?
No, because I was in treatment for 2 years. But as soon as I would get out, the first thing I wanted to do was that, because I had no reason to stop. My kid has been taken away from me and they have no plans on arranging me a visit. I'm paying rent for my girlfriend's place. And I said, if you move to Burbank near your brainwashing brother, I'm leaving you for good. So I'm like, I'll move to anywhere with you in Phoenix on the planet except there. So I sent the money. I'm like, congratulations. I heard you got a place. Where is it? She's like, Burbank. I'm like, all right, I'm leaving you. And she thought that I was fibbing, but like, the only reason that made me to stop right here, she gave me the perfect ultimatum, her poussoir or the vodka. I really like vodka, but I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to go with the first option. And her stretch in an hour a day is so effective. Anytime I was sore back in the day, I'm like, man, I'm sore. I need a massage. I should have got a stretch coach.
I just want to go back to like the, just because the family and everything, because we could talk all day. We all probably have ADHD in this room, but the thing that I noticed when we got together is and I'm going to say it because this is the honesty day today, is I've never had a chance to talk to the world. So what I experienced in the beginning would be devastating to me, because whatever issue you have, your family's supposed to be the ones that you can count on, and your friends.
Yes.
So when you see a situation like Brittany and now and Bam, it's the money. I worked for a piece of shit who was in the Florida shuffle. His name's Joe McBratney. I dare him to come for me. He owes me $900. but like, he was in the Florida shuffle and he was sleeping with these girls. Like, I'm a very...
What was he?
He was an owner of a rehabilitation center. So the definition of the Florida shuffle, where Bam was, which his parents seemed to be in denial at times, is that they will just take you and then say, you and I have one. It's like, hey, Bam's about to get out, so let's get him fucked up. So they would let the girls.
Yeah, because if they let you out and you have a couple days left, they're hoping that you relapse so they could keep you for another 90 days for insurance purposes.
So they would let the girls go out and then say, I'd say, hey, you know, Haley's over on 10th Street in Delray, go get her. And then you would keep her for 30 days and we would split the $100,000. And that's how it goes. And that's what he was in. So when you have someone like our men here that have money, it's just a constant shuffle.
Mm.
So when I saw some of the body cam, I was like pretty disturbed that people that were calling my phone, brand new, trying to get a hold of him, that I'm realizing don't want to call me either, right?
Yeah.
Because they just wanted to get to him. There's just a lot of facts out there that show that they just wanted to keep him there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if he wouldn't have met me, he'd either be dead or he would have just been in the Florida shuffle.
For sure. And these places are so shady that I had a roommate named Big Ben, and an ambulance took him out at 3 a.m. when everybody was asleep and they pronounced him dead. And I woke up and I overhear everybody saying like, hey, where's Big Ben? He left. And all the staff members were like, oh, he moved along to a different facility. I'm like, different facility? Yeah, the fucking morgue. He's deader than shit. They pronounced him dead when I was sitting next to him.
That's got to be traumatic.
But this whole place is trained. They were they taught everybody to say that he moved along to a different facility. Yeah, the morgue. He's dead.
That's got to be traumatic also, having your roommate die right next to you.
They put me in. I had to go in on under jackass rules with Paramount that I go to treatment and pay for it.
So wild.
I'm going in on Adderall and alcohol, which I had a prescription for, and I go in. I'm on more drugs than I've ever had. I was a fucking zombie to the point where I couldn't even cry or come. They put me on fucking bupropion, propranolol, lithium, latuda, trazodone, Seroquel, every Wellbutrin and Abilify known to man, but. You could say like, hey, Bam, your cat, my cat died neat. You know, hey, Angelina's over there naked and she wants to have at it. Oh, she does? Cool. Like, I was just numb. Yeah. I had no feelings whatsoever. I was better out at the fucking Irish pubs cracking jokes on Adderall and alcohol rather than all that shit.
Do you feel like they keep people over-medicated in these places so that they can control them?
The doctor probably gets a big kickback on writing all these prescriptions. Yep. If you leave on nothing, then they lose a client.
Yeah.
Oh, he's good to go. Holistic well, looks like we don't need him anymore. No, they want you forever to be on their shit.
Big pharma.
What did it
poison.
Do? Nothing. They diagnosed me with manic bipolar, and then they said, are you depressed? I go, I don't know. If I am depressed, it's because I'm now I'm top heavy and I can't skateboard how I used to. So they give me all these new prescriptions and I'm eating salads in there and I'm like gaining weight. I'm like, that's it. So I type in Depakote, number one weight gaining pill, Zyprexa, number one weight gaining pill. I'm like, doc, why would you give me a weight gaining pill if I told you I'm depressed because I'm heavier than I'm supposed to be? He's like, well, it's an antidepressant. Well, if I keep getting fatter, I'm going to be fucking more depressed, you he-eyed.
they literally just give you a pill for everything.
Yeah.
That's why I won't take any medication. I barely even want to take a leave like around my period because it just fucking medications are just, they're like a band-aid and they
poison.
Don't fucking help. They don't heal you.
Yeah.
If anything, you get strung out on them or you are dependent on them for the rest of your life.
Exactly. And I did learn this. The interventionist Steve Timmer was on the body cam footage. And if you tell the police, don't listen to a word he says, he's schizophrenic. If you say he's schizophrenic, you could be like, hey, police, if you look right there and just lean your head over, you will find a dead body. Yeah, yeah, you're nuts. No, just take two steps and take a look. Yeah, you're schizophrenic. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, no, just fucking take two steps and fucking look. Like, they just do not believe anything. As soon as you say schizophrenic, don't believe a word.
Mm. It's actually one of the body cams. You can hear one of the cops go, he's about to go in the room. That's when I can't watch it anymore. His friend Paul was on the phone. Now that I'm very good friends with Paul, and Paul said it was devastating, but you can hear the one cop go, oh, he's just schizophrenic. Don't worry about it. Like, it's something in that manner of like, don't pay attention to anything he says.
Did they diagnose you with schizophrenia?
He doesn't even know. No, he's like, I don't
think
something. So.
I think Steve Timmer, the individual, just wanted to see me get arrested and go back to a mental institution.
What My stepdad was schizophrenic. He ain't schizophrenic.
Yeah, what are your diagnoses?
From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys, and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, BUNNIE. That's Sono Bello, SonoBello.com/bunny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, out of the 13 places I've been to, I think two of them diagnosed me with manic bipolar. The other 11 says that I'm not that. Every time I go to a new treatment center, which would be every 90 days, they'd be like, they have you on this, that, and the other thing, and this. What kind of cocktail is this? We never seen anything like that. I'm like, they said that they were the best of the best. No, we're the best of the best, and you're going to be on this, that, and the other thing now and switch it up. Then I go to another place, and they're like, what did that place put you on? This is the craziest cocktail I've ever seen. I'm like, well, they said that they were the best of the best, and that place that was the best of the best said that they sucked. I'm like, you're all fucking idiots.
Minus the only one that wasn't an idiot that we just happened to run into, how angels come back around, is his, and I'm going to say her name, is Anne Marie. We were just in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, and she hasn't seen this person in so long. And there's a table we usually set up with the Duffs. Duff rides for Tony Hawk and
Vera Restaurant Pamela in the Duff back room. She was just sitting staying. There. I'm like, what? My therapist? What are you doing? No. She was there for a different
She's
thing.
She's your but original she was trying to get, therapist?
And she was the only one that I listened to and loved. Everybody Aww. Else, you know, and that's another thing. I just spilled because my guts to a whole new therapist. I had 13 therapists in the past 2 years. So it's like, here we go again. I got to spill my whole guts out to another person and get nowhere because I'm just going to leave again and they're going to give me another.
Okay, you be quiet for 1 minute. So she basically, we just ran into her though. And it was, so she was one of the only ones that told me personally that she didn't want to do what companies were making him do, the right. Paramount thing and everything, that she didn't want him on all those things. So they didn't like her because she wasn't following the poisonous rules.
Right.
So somehow they lost contact. We're going to meet Pamela for dinner. We walk in this restaurant to go to Pamela's table and she's sitting there. Yeah. She's in this beautiful pink suit. I'm like, who's this bombshell? Where's Pamela? And then they're like almost crying because they haven't seen each other in so long. Aww. So I just want to say like there was one good one, but she was too good to make it because they want good to go away.
They
want to
feed the system.
Yeah. So if I stop taking the 18 medications, then I don't get the 5 million that I usually get on a Jackass movie because I broke my contract. So I stopped taking it. They're like, looks like you broke your contract. I'm like, well, yeah, what's the point? What's the point of getting $5 million if I'm dead?
Yeah.
Because that's what was going to happen Absolutely. If I kept taking that.
But if you read about Britney, they say how they open your mouth, they make you swallow the pills. And yeah. the same and I just when you go my away. Tongue. So it was like they
and
were making
Didn't you have
that.
To like sit on FaceTimes with them and take your
I
medication
would sleep
every day?
All Crazy. Fucking day, only to get up to piss or go to the refrigerator. And then I would just go back to bed. I was like basically just dead inside
they
if
did
I wasn't
it to
dead
him.
Already.
They did it to him again recently when I went to go pick him up. That's like another part of the family. Like And now that I can talk about it, you know, everyone is aware that it happened fast. But when we started dating and then we had our one first fight ever and he was like, I'm going to Nobu to bang bull. I was like, you are? Don't do that. I like you. So then I'm at my best friend Heather's. I'm like, do you really think he's going to go to Nobu and do that? She's like, I don't think so. And then 2 hours later, he's like, bam, knocking on her door, La Brea in Hollywood. And I'm like, all right, we're dating. It's over. Don't do that again to me. I'm stressed out. But, you know, when he had to go to court was when it was a reality check. He asked me, will you fly to Pennsylvania with me and go to court? And it was a really big deal. But I didn't know that he wasn't coming back. So they kept
I didn't know either. Right. So
it was it
because
was
I had a little time. Tiff with my brother. I lent him Castle Bam to turn into a recording studio. He got Prince's soundboard from Paisley Park. And I knew that I would be in treatment. And once I got out, I was going to go to California to hike with the shaman to lose all this weight. So I came home, didn't think that I had to make an announcement that I'm coming home because it's my home. So instead of like, hey, welcome back, it was more like, so when are you leaving? Fuck you's when I'm leaving. So we got in a little tiff about that. I read his phone on a three-way conversation with the people that were working in the studio at my house saying, we did not know Bam would be home. He's ruining our program. We need to get him back to California ASAP or 5150 him for no reason. Just to not. So I ripped off the first thing I saw, which is signed Billy Idol guitar, and either smashed it with him or on the kitchen, whatever. And then I told his girlfriend, who was trying to rescue a cat, she fell off the ladder and shattered her heel. So I said I'd put a bear trap on her other foot, knowing that I don't own a bear trap. And I certainly didn't fly in with one. So I got a terroristic death threat charge of a bear trap. And I put my fucking hand in one, and Jackass 2, and it didn't even break. So cool your goddamn jets, everyone.
It's got to be so hurtful that the people that are supposed to love you the most seem to be so against you. It's almost like they're just... Like,
it's the little things that piss me off. Villa Vallo from him is my favorite band, so I have a picture right as soon as you walk in. There's a piece of cardboard duct taped over his face with like a... You know, just super disrespectful. And then I just bought Phoenix a little blue Lamborghini car, special car, that I left because when I got arrested on the manhunt, when they called the police on me to 5150 me, I left that car there because I got locked up. He could have just put it right in the house. It got so sun-dried that it's gray. It's not even worth giving it to him anymore.
What is your relationship with Nikki now?
There isn't one.
Yeah.
The lawyers, she lawyered up with a lawyer, which was completely ridiculous because we're not married. We got married. It was a fake wedding in Iceland that you have to be a resident there to make it legit. We didn't know that. So thank God on that. So she's trying to tell the lawyer that her name is Nicole Margera. That name does not exist on paper. It doesn't exist on the planet of Earth. Mm-hmm. So I was giving her $5,000 a month out of the kindness of my own heart for child support. I'm like, I'm being more than fair. And then finally we went to court with her getting a lawyer and the judge was like, you only get $500 a month. You're not even married. So I'm like, you should have been happy with the $5,000. Now I've given $200,000 to my lawyer and your lawyer wants me to pay for him too. All the money has gone to the lawyers. Congratulations. Over a matter we could have figured out in 1 second. When's a better FaceTime for Phoenix? High noon on Wednesday or is Tuesday better? But they always say, we're still working on it. So if you send me another $50,000, we'll still be working on it. Yeah, you're going to work on it for eternity until my banks run dry.
So you aren't in Phoenix's life right now, or you are?
It's still an issue. Apparently, I get to see him once every weekend, but I'm fully booked with these Comic-Cons every weekend to pay these legal fees.
Yeah. It's working out though. Like they have, you know, unfortunately, just to speak on the subject, I, you know, push him all. I come from a divorced family. I have daddy issues right now. I'm pissed at him right now, but it'll work out. And yeah. Phoenix is so young that he just wants to see dad. Dad's famous. So dad's busy and he's doing better than ever and he'll be okay. You know, it's just getting on a schedule so they can see each other and spend time. Right now it's monitored. Yeah. So that's been a little hard on him. But, you know, you got to prove to the system that you're not a nutball, even though he's kind of crazy. But I told him just to do his part. Yeah, and they're going to be just fine.
It almost doesn't even matter if a decade went by. Like, hey, do you know, can Bam see Phoenix now? Because it's been 10 years and he's been sober as a judge. Well, he'll probably just relapse. I know him. You know, there's nothing I could do to win on this matter. Mm. And
unfortunately, he's been so up and down that I don't think that they believe this. I think they think I'm a flyby girlfriend.
Yeah.
And
right.
Some people think I'm here for the fame. I'm famous in my own way. I don't need it. You know
and
what
it's
I mean?
Really but shitty because I'm missing him grow up.
Yeah. You should be skateboarding
if
together.
I walk in the mall and I see some teddy bears or a fucking Paw Patrol poster, I'm crying my eyes out. Yeah. If I even go past a playground and I see kids playing, it's like, that's all I want to do, but I have to have a fucking supervised visit from the Supreme Court with a microphone on. Just, it's like, I've been living at the Black Rifle Coffee compound with a little 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. How come I get to live there and play with them all day, but when it comes to my own kid, I have to have a Supreme Court visit with a fucking microphone and people filming me just to make sure I don't do anything wrong? What am I going to do wrong?
But my sister is not famous, and she had to go through this.
Yeah.
And she just, in Georgia, has like, and he won 51%, and my sister is an angel. She has to pay child support. So they have a good connection, and he knows he's not alone. There's a lot of parents out there that are fighting for their kids, whether you're famous and have money or broke and have nothing, and they're fighting for no reason when it should just be about the child. So I support him 100%, and like, he knows that.
I don't even know what school he goes to. I don't even know where he lives, even though I'm paying for it. I don't even know anything about him, what friends he has, what he even likes, what cartoons he likes. Don't know anymore. Because is everything has to go through the lawyer, and it's just such a pain in the ass.
Is Nikki willing to put her hurt aside and have some sort of friendship with you so that you guys can co-parent together?
When a girl is scorned, then all they see is fire in their eyes and Babylon's burning and it's going to burn your fucking house down. There's nothing you could do to save it.
Right.
It's just, there's...
It's hard, and the kid's young, so just, I think right now, like me personally, I just, like I said, I come from a, you know, divorced family, and you know, it's all about him and Phoenix. It's not about her. It's not about me. Yeah. It's not about April and Phil. It's about those two
and you
forming
know
a
that
relationship.
Everybody on her end, they're hearing her one-sided story. She's probably going around saying, Bam left me high and dry, and he gives me only $400 a month. Yeah, I was giving you five until the judge said you're only getting four. And I gave in all my money to lawyers when I begged you not to get one because we don't need that. So it's all gone anyway. There's nothing to divide anymore.
You know, the
her
lawyers
and I
take
have started
everything.
From scratch, and I love it that way. So now if we want to get a house, we pick out our own furniture. We do it. I like starting from scratch. I've never been more happy in my life on this great adventure of just going from spot to spot, meeting new people, coming up with new deals, new whatever. It's great.
Sounds
before,
like you date a boss
just
bitch,
stuck at
you
home
know.
In a vicious circle of the hair of the dog. I wake up. I'm like, oh, I feel like shit from drinking. But if I have a drink, I'm going to feel pretty good. The and cycle. If I have another one, I'm going to feel even better. If I have a third one, I'll feel
we
great.
We know it too.
Next thing you know, you wake up, oh, fuck, I feel like shit. But if I have a beer, I know
it's a cycle.
It's cycle.
Why do they
hell?
Call it hair of the dog?
Like, I've never understood that.
The hair of the dog that bit you.
But why? The dog hair doesn't bite.
Yeah.
I like dog hair.
I've never understood that saying
me
either.
Me neither. But I use the method often in the past.
It sounds to me like you have found some sort of purpose.
Yes.
And that's what's driving you. And that's exciting to you. Because
even
though you have done everything that you've done, it almost like seems like it started so young for you that you weren't able to appreciate it.
Exactly. Like,
amen, buddy.
Well, I mean, I made my own video at the age of 16. And through word of mouth, sold over 1 million copies without even putting an ad in anything. Just mom and pop skate shops were selling it. And everybody said, you need to see this video. So then I did another one. And then that's when Jackass found me. I was the first person to ever ride for Nike. And when Element put out my skateboards, they also put out Bam wallets, Bam sunglasses, Bam everything. And when Jackass became bigger than MTV could imagine, I already had all this Bam stuff out before they could even make Jackass stuff. So I was clocking Mega Bank, and every wish that I had, any goal that I set would come true quicker than my deadline date.
Yeah.
And I fucking ran out of goals.
I feel like you made Jackass though, because you already had like a little mini empire with CKY before even getting on to Jackass. I knew who you were before Jackass.
Everybody
you know?
Says that. All the fans really say that.
Like people who really grew up with you, because you raised some of us, you know, like we grew up with you.
Yeah.
And you were like, you were pretty much like one of the first real content creators, if you think about it, like really influencer or whatever the fuck they want to call it.
That's the thing, living in Pennsylvania.
And he's the hottest.
That's when Tremaine and Knoxville, they would be in Los Angeles making all these secret deals. Then they do a fucking documentary about how Jackass got created and talking about Big Brother the whole time. And at the very tail end, probably about 5%. Oh yeah. And then Bam was doing CKY in Pennsylvania. If you do the math, I sold millions of copies. You fucking barely sold 20,000 copies of Big Brother's video called Poop and tit and fucking crap.
I don't even know.
I've never even heard of them. Yeah, I know who CKY is. Never heard of that.
I have learned how to fucking forgive and be happy, and I deleted anybody that's given me a problem, but I just want to take my anger out on one person. Jeff Tremaine's too much of a fucking pussy. Knoxville, get into a ring with me. Take off your boxing gloves. 1, 2, 3, you're fucking done for. Pussy.
So you're still really angry and hurt with Knoxville.
You fucking put me through hell, made me pay all this fucking treatment money, and they're filming behind my back while I'm in treatment, so they already set me up to fucking fail, and then as soon as I do the slightest thing wrong, I'm not in the movie. So I paid $100,000 to go to treatment only for me to fuck up, and then now I'm not in the movie. They had it all planned out. And I think that Knoxville tried to do this movie called Action Point in South Africa, and they had a $15 million budget, and he tried to do it without us, and it was a fucking flop. They only made $2 million. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, the label says, you're not free to go. You're either going to have to pay this back or fucking put your house up for sale or do a Jackass 5. Well, if Bam's not in it, then that's already $6 million, $5 million that we don't have to pay back. So we could already say he's a fucking liability because he's drunk out in front of a hotel room on TMZ. Yeah, well, on Jackass 2, I got a high five for fucking good press when I got a felony charge having brass knuckles at the LAX airport drunk as hell.
That's all what they need from you at the time.
Yeah.
But now I'm a liability? Fuck you guys.
I'm just going to say on that note, since we skipped right forward to that, you know, it's funny how recently my DMs and phone calls and text messages, I'm gonna let them all know right now to stop texting him.
Yeah, and if you double dog Knoxville to do any stunt, oh, I'm so brave, I'll have to do it. Why triple dog dare you? Step into a fucking ring with me, you're done for. You're over.
When you say boom, your DMs and stuff like that, who's DMing you and calling?
Well, just in the beginning, I mean, I'll just say, you know, Novak reached out, but I don't even know who he is.
Right.
So I don't want to get involved with their relationship. I have a 30-year friendship relationship and no one will get involved in that either. You know, so
Brandon was around during the CKY days too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And you know, I've helped him with over a dozen treatment centers. I've rescued him over a dozen fucking overdoses at the hospital. I've paid for all of his mistakes, and I don't want any of that money back now that he's doing good. But like, he stole my S55 Mercedes, $125,000 car, when I was in Germany high on pills to go get more pills, wrecked into the dean's car, Westchester, fleed the scene. They tried to charge me over it till I proved I was in Germany. But he says, you always got to take accountability for your actions. All right, well, you owe me a fucking car. You're buying your seventh treatment house in Delaware, driving around in your Range Rover. You owe me a car.
But even just recently, like, I went, because I go through his phone. So anybody who's texting Wax, I read everything because I'm allowed to. And if I need to change the number, I will. Because there's nobody allowed but our little small circle right now of
which
happiness.
Is probably what's keeping him safe and sober.
Yeah, I can't have any of that. And I've gone through the phone and I saw the message. It's like, let's go to the Sausage Castle and you can knock me out.
Mike Busey.
I love Mike, but I'm like, and Mike Busey wasn't the one texting. But, you know, Steve-O's asking him to, like, punch him. Like, he's doing great. Like, you should probably want to talk to him and ask how he's doing instead of doing something that would benefit you.
And that's why I like just putting my phone down. I like to just
leave
focus
him alone right now.
We spend all day, every day. Like, we are such a fucking powerhouse team that she takes better photos than most of the people on Thrasher
Magazine.
Those
are all my pictures of the skateboarding.
I tell her where the angle is. We get the shot. She stretches me beforehand, and we just have like a perfect day that I don't need any fucking phone calls interrupting the flow of that. And, you know, everybody asked me, like, if they did another Jackass, would you want to be? Hell no. It is done. Tremaine has ruined the legacy. It was supposed to be a fucking tribute to Ryan Dunn. Now he puts these fucking new hee-haw heads in there. And
too many balls. Like, why were we stapling balls the whole time? It was very disturbing.
And all he does is sit behind the camera and say, get hurt in action. Poopy's got bitten by a fucking shark. He could have died. And the movie made $150 million in the box office. And apparently he got like less than $40,000. You can't even buy a fucking Datsun with a used tire on with that kind of money. Meanwhile, Hyundai. But you had to sign a contract on Jackass 4. Everybody could get fucked with it any given moment except for Tremaine because he's the director. No, because he's a fucking pussy.
So circling back to Steve-O, I had a conversation with him the other day because he's coming on the podcast and Jay just did his podcast. Cool. And I told him that you were coming on and he said that he is, I'd have to look at the text message, but I think he said around the, like, he's hurt, he's reached out to you and he's hurt because he hasn't heard a response.
I won't let him respond right now so he could be mad at me, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe when I get to know a little bit more of the situation. right now my focus is his mental health and my relationship. Like, I've only been with this person for 8 months and it went public kind of immediately, which I can handle. But, you know, right now they don't know him anymore right now. This person is on a whole new chapter. It's not about counting days. It's not about how, you know, it's about he's changed. He's turned a page. Mm-hmm. And if those friendships can survive, then that's great. But right now,
I love Steve-O. When the time is right, we'll talk and everything's cool. But I mean, like, I did his tour. He asked me to go on tour to do open up for his comedy show and get some money to pay some legal fee bills of the mess that I'm in. And I completed my mission. Everything was a success. I didn't drink like how he asked. And then I find out that he puts all my money in a Phoenix Wolf trust fund when he turns 18. I'm like, I earned that money. Yeah, but we didn't want you to spend it on alcohol or drugs. It doesn't matter. I did the work. Fucking pay me. And it's not like I need your money. I have a fucking couple bank accounts. I could just go right to the store and get some. But, like, you're not at liberty to be starting a Phoenix the Wolf trust fund and he gets it when he's 18. It's fuck that.
It sounds to me like you're really hurt and upset and tired of people making fucking decisions for you.
Making decisions for me? And I can't even trust, you know, I it's just hard to trust anybody. I don't know what their fucking real agenda is.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's heavy to not be able to trust anybody like that.
Yeah.
I always say friendships are meant to be, like, they will, right? Yeah, I mean, they've known each other for a really long time.
We have created I'm always such a tight bubble of friends that
right now is
sensitive. You know, we have a perfect circle of tight friends and I'm not going to let anybody fucking dent it anymore.
Right.
Viva La Bam, I let in so many friends that the bubble just bursted.
Yeah.
And when you keep giving everybody your phone number, then you start forgetting to talk about the important ones. There was a point where my manager, Terry Hardy, was so great. He would get me fucking commercials to do Right Guard for $1 million of one day of work.
Yeah.
And now I'm pawning off his phone calls to a friend of a friend because I don't have time to fucking answer it now, which I highly regret doing. You know, when I look back at everything, I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
He had this movie.
The crowd got too big. All
ready for me to go. I was too hungover to make the flight. And because of that, I think that's when he was just like, you know what? Enough is enough. I had a lot of money on the line for you to be producing this movie in Hollywood and you were just too hungover to get on the flight. Well, I'm done.
I think that circles back to doing this at such a young age and just not appreciating the opportunities because you didn't know. Like, you literally grew up doing this. Yeah. So to you, it was just like, oh, another fucking deal. I'll get another one, you know?
And to have $300,000 to spend a week for 65 weeks.
That's unheard of. They would never give somebody a budget like that now. Yeah, that's unheard of.
Our meetings at MTV would be fucking bonkers. It's like, so what do you want to do this week? And most people be like, is this guy crazy? I'll be like, how about we paint the entire kitchen blue and then we'll have an elephant come in and we'll make the outside a fucking moat with a drawbridge and then I'll keep wrecking Don Vito my uncle's car until he gets fed up and drives my Hummer off a cliff.
R.I.P. Don Vito.
Boom, done, deal.
Now he saves elephants.
I love that. Circling back to you and Ryan Dunn's relationship, let's focus on that for a little bit. You guys were like best of friends.
Yeah.
Take me on that journey with you guys.
Well, we met I was in ninth grade. He was in 11th at East High School in Westchester, Pennsylvania. He just moved from Cleveland, Ohio. And he was just such a character. He didn't know how to skateboard, and he knew that I was making the CKY video, and he became a part of the crew just because he would be the guy to do the gnarly thing that everybody would back out on. You know, he's like, so what does everybody push out on? Oh, to get in that wheelbarrow and get pushed off of that three-story building into this pricker bush. Just give me a shot of Crown Royal and let's get it done and over with. So he would be like, we called him Random Hero because he would always save the day. And we did everything together. Anytime we did an MTV interview, he would always be right there. If I started trailing off or, you know, he would always take over. So to find out that he got in a car accident, it was very devastating because I never had anybody die that I was close to. And I never knew what it felt like. It was always like, hey, did you hear Aunt Audrey from Pittsburgh died? I'm like, who? We had Thanksgiving dinner with her five Thanksgiving. All right, whatever. Are you going to go to the funeral? I guess if I have to. I don't know. So anybody that died until then, I never knew. I didn't.
You never knew a pain.
But then when that, it hit so hard to the point where I remember we were in outside of Phoenix, Arizona. I was doing an appearance the next day, and we were in the woods having a campfire. You could see all the stars, and I'm like, man, I am really happy right now. I couldn't be happier. Then all of a sudden, I just punch out the van window and break it for no reason. And the tour manager was like, why did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just mad, and I don't know why. I just don't know why. Turns out he wrecked at 12:28 in Pennsylvania, and I smashed the window at fucking 9:28 in Phoenix. So it's like we had such a connection that I knew something bad happened, and I didn't know what till I found out the next morning.
So it was like he was one, like a soulmate.
Like he wanted you to know. Yeah.
Soulmates can be your friends too. It's not always a romantic link.
And my mom would always tell him, like, you get these fucking fast cars with these fast engines, you're going to get into a wreck. He's like, yeah, a fiery wreck. And that's how it happened. He wrecked, he flipped me in a car 8 times into oncoming traffic when I was 16 years old. In school, he was doing a radio. He was installing radios. God. And he's like, hop in the car. I got this Jetta. Let's go to the mall.
I bet he's happy.
Not the Jetta.
Calm down a little bit.
So we were flying 110 miles per hour. Somebody caught us off. We slid for so long like a football field. As soon as we hit the grass in the median, we started flipping into oncoming traffic. My brother got flown out on the last flip. He was 40 feet in like a moat. I could see his feet sticking out. And when I saw him, he was just like, a helicopter had to come get him out. I had a big softball on my head from bashing the window out on the first flip. But I got to thank Chris Rabb because he was sitting next to me and he put my seatbelt on and I ejected. I said, I'm not a pussy. And then he put it on again. And then we flipped instantly after the second time he put it on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you feel like after Ryan's death is kind of when you started spiraling?
Hell yeah, because I was so lost that I didn't know what to do. It's like, well, now we can't make a CKY video. If we do another Jagged, it won't be the same.
Yeah.
And instead of like drinking as a celebration, it was just drinking to forget.
Right.
And it became a real fucking problem and I didn't even know it. I was always that guy to go, you know, 90 days and be like, all right, you know, we're going to Ruth Chris Steakhouse tonight. I could have one wine for dinner. Yeah, it might be one wine that night for dinner, but the next day I'm going to have two. The next day it's going to be two bottles, and then I'm out looking for drugs. It always happens that way.
And getting your phone stolen was
over a baked dozen of tries to realize that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We should,
So jumping back in, do you think, Bam, you know, all the trauma that you've been through, have you had, I know you've been to all, did the Florida Shuffle, but have you ever had any, like, trauma therapy?
Yeah, I mean, they put me through everything. A part of the Jackass thing, I had to blow into a Soberlink 4 times a day. I had to pay for $800 of therapy twice a week. Neurofeedback, same thing.
But I think you were forced. I think if you did it like on your own,
I have therapy of hearing sirens. When I was on that manhunt, it was gnarly. There was 3 helicopters in the sky, 8 police officers circling around trying to find me through the woods. I am a professional at hopping barbed wire fences. I was scared shitless on the 4th one, but on the 8th one, I became a pro. And then I drank the Brandywine River because I was dying of thirst. I slept in a box at a fucking house that I thought was abandoned until they pulled up. And they were so terrified. They come up to unlock the door and they just see a pair of feet hanging out this box. And all of a sudden, I just jump out like a bat out of hell. I just go, I'm sorry. And I keep running down the railroad.
Oh my god!
I was fucking Harriet Tubman from the Underground Railroad. I had Fairmans hide me, take me to an Albanian restaurant, and then they took me from there. Finally, I made it to the Jersey Shore at a buddy's house, and I was telling random people just to see how far it would go. I told my mom that I was in North Carolina just to see if that would travel anywhere. Sure enough, turns out, like, we found out Bam's in North Carolina on a high-speed chase, all larried up, because if he made it to North Carolina that quick, that means he was driving 120 miles per hour. I'm like, that was a lie that I told to my mom just to see how far it would go.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm in Jersey, assholes.
There's just so much betrayal, and there's so much trauma here, and I think that whenever you're ready to sit down and kind of deal with it with it being on your terms, like Danny said, I think it would help you out a lot because you just are so hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just so much turmoil inside, and that's why you drink. That's why you do the drugs you do, is to hide and cover up all this pain that you have.
And with a relationship, it's all about trust. If you don't have trust, you got nothing.
Right. Absolutely. That's 100% right. And now you've got Danny.
Yeah, hell yeah. Fuck queen.
Well, we know there's no filter here. So it works for sure.
So how many days sober are you now?
Since August 1st.
Okay. So that's actually a good while. Yeah. Is that the longest you've been sober?
Well, minus the Florida shuffle because I was forced to be.
But right. As soon as I on your own. This is you on your own. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Love it.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What are you guys' plans to just keep this going? And like, what do you guys do differently now than any other time?
I had known this. All I needed all along was a structured schedule that's fun, because I had no 9-to-5 job. I had no boss ever tell me what to do. And, you know, I need a structured bedtime schedule. I know when I'm with her, I'm in bed by
yeah, I texted her last night at like 9:30.
I woke up this morning. I was like, oh, I missed something. We were in bed.
And you know,
he was already asleep.
And that's okay. Why I love having the dogs, because we wake up, I walk the dogs, we take care of the, if I can't take care of myself, I can't take care of the dogs. But we walk the dogs, she stretches me, we go to the gym, then I look for a skate spot, she shoots the skate photo or films it for me, we get it done, we go get something to eat, and then I either paint or read or write or edit or whatever it is. It's a whole fun structured schedule. And Steve-O would always tell me, dude, if you just get sober, you'll see that neat things will happen. I'm like, well, I've been sober and the only neat things that happen is nothing, because I'm forced to go to treatment. I'm forced to go to AA to learn that alcohol is banned. It's not any good. I'm forced to go to therapy. I'm forced to go to neurofeedback. Nothing fun is happening at all.
Right. I couldn't imagine. Could you? No. Our personalities, I could not imagine someone making me swallow a pill and put me in a room with no freaking music or my phone or you or a text. They want you to go crazy.
And I got to say this.
I mean, it's like a setup for disaster.
How come the fucking FBI or no one has done research about this Amanda Rabb client that Lima, my guardian, she died under her care and she changed the autopsy saying that it wasn't from what she died from. It was from a cardiac arrest seizure, which is what I started getting as soon as I met her.
And it's online. So these things that are being, she's already tried to go. No,
I did. I read about
it. She tried, but it's all on the internet. I mean, people are now aware of her lies.
People aren't still in her care, are they?
Well,
I don't know. They better not be.
People are backing up from her.
She made me talk about this neato fucking helmet that she made.
Listen to this.
And I put on this helmet and she forced me to say how neat it is and how it helps with therapy. In one eye, you see a little fucking kitten drinking milk, and then the other eye you see a Tyrannosaurus Rex is coming at you at full speed trying to eat you. And she's like, which eye do you pick? I pick the kitty cat. You're on the right path. No shit, I'm on the right fucking path. Why would I pick the left eye, which is a T-Rex coming at me to eat me?
So they're basically using like psychedelic, you know, things to kind of trick your brain,
right?
And you know, if I went down the rabbit hole of BJ Investigates, and that's how I, when he was sleeping and resting, I wanted to know. And Pamela and BJ are friends, and they showed me things that I started to understand the system. Even working in the shuffle, I was familiar with it.
Right.
And then watching how they use certain tools to manipulate the brain, and they can keep them. Mm. So
there's scary.
A word for it, but and it's a very scary.
All BJ Investigates wanted to do was free BAM. She started the free BAM movement.
She's also part of free
Britney. If you're against that, then you're against me.
BJ is a big deal with the Free Britney movement. So she's the one in case, not just Bam, but she's uncovered the Wendy Williams recently, Casey Kasem back in the day. Like, she's someone who is speaking for
we
those.
We need to get her on the podcast.
I'll definitely connect you to. Let's not forget, this isn't just happening to famous people. This is happening to someone like you and I. Well, you're, you know, crazy. No,
I don't care
but
about
I mean,
that.
Just like you and I, like, sitting in a room and your mom thinks you're okay and you're not because the person that's in control of you is a liar and money hungry. And
no,
you
we
know,
went through this with our daughter. We had to put her in a treatment center.
It's awful what they do.
Last year in September. And I researched everything because I was so scared of something like what happened to you happening to her. So
it's scary. It's, I mean, yes,
the mental health system is a fucking nightmare.
And we definitely don't want to bash the good ones. I went to
Aurora Mental Health in Pasadena, California. And I was just talking to the other people. I'm like, so what happened to you? He's like, I was just here for a 48-hour hold, and then they found out that I had insurance and I had nowhere to go, and I've been here for fucking 150 days.
They'll just keep you like a shell. Like, it's really scary.
And I can't even get on the phone, and I don't even know who I would call for help. But they found I was only on a 48-hour hold, and then they found out I had insurance and I had nowhere to go. I've been here for 150 fucking days. I'm like, this is fucked up.
And then if you go and say you kind of need help, like, we just had a friend and we're not going to name drop him, but he was going through kind of the same thing that Bam's going through with custody. And he said he just had a couple bad days and he went to 51 or he went and they 5150'd him and he had to check out. He was like, I don't belong here. Like, I just am having some personal issues and asking for help. They put him in with, you know, the people that really need help. So it's like, you're having a bad day. You can't really get the help. And then once you do, you're labeled. You're in the system. Yeah. And they want your money.
If you're in a mental institution and you're hanging out with dudes that are fucking yelling at the trash can saying, why didn't you marry me? And the other one's trying to fucking French kiss their own sneaker. You're going to start doing that shit too over time.
It could be fun for a day.
Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them.
Why? Because everybody else
just grab your sneaker and make out. It's fine.
Oh, my God. Bam, just hearing this stuff is just fucking wild, dude. Wild. Like, it is crazy. It hurts my heart for you, honestly.
Yeah, and
you seem like such a jovial.
The best thing to do is just shut your fucking cocksucker, because the more you talk, the more they can hold against you. My one buddy Hannafin called me from the mental institution. She's like, Bam, you don't understand. I don't belong here. You got to get me out of here. And I hear, coom, coom, coom. I'm like, are you banging your head against the wall? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you just bought yourself another month, you idiot.
Don't do that. Then you're definitely
staying. Don't do that, you hot air buffoon. You just bought yourself. Yeah, bang your head against the wall. That's a real good idea.
He's actually really good in the gym, too, this one. This one hasn't given himself benefits for.
Let's talk about some good stuff. Yeah. So what are you doing now that's different? Like, you're getting stretched, which I just discovered stretching this year because I heard you say something that you had ripped your thing, your hamstring. I was fucking doing a TikTok thing. Oh. I fucking, like, was joking around and, like, doing this fucking stupid dance. Not, like, a genuine TikTok dance, but I was, like, making fun of something and snapped my fucking Achilles heel in half.
Not.
Dude,
that is so painful,
bro. It's still fucked up, and
that's
this was on Halloween.
And
I fucking was like, "Fuck that! I gotta start stretching."
And
that's what I've been doing is stretching, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
dude.
I thought that there was no hope for me. Like, I was putting tacks in my calf muscles. Like, there was a bunch of calves. My friend was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm putting tacks in." Why? I'm like, to relieve the pain.
Oh my god!
So like. That's how stiff they were from just alcohol abuse and all the medication, the side effects of stiff muscles. It was for real. It was that painful. And one yoga guy was like, just reach down and touch your toes. See if you can do that. I doubt I can. And I went and my hamstring popped right here. I was out for a year from that. I even, when I got out of treatment, they let me skate a 3-foot half pipe with my friend Jeff Rasp. And I didn't even get to drop in yet. I ran up the 3-foot ramp and basically got such a cramp that I couldn't do it anymore. Tried the easiest trick on the planet, looped out because some little shit ass waxed a coping like a fucking Eskimo. And I hyperextended my elbow to the bone coming out and broke my wrist for the 16th time. And my arm still won't go straight from it.
It's getting better.
My gosh.
We'll straighten that shit out too.
So stretching, working out, being on a regimen.
Dogs. He has such a good relationship with them. That's like another thing. To backtrack, but
did you never have animals before?
I've always had cats but anytime I would have a dog, I leave too much, I travel too much, so a friend would watch them. And when a friend watches your dog for a month and it's a brand new puppy, you come back and they're like, I can't give this back to you. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, gotcha.
But you know, Bam, I think a lot of his friends will say, like, you know, bringing up how he has been in this world for so long that he's always had people around him. And sometimes they'll say, gosh, I just can't believe you're letting him go hiking with the dogs. I'm like, letting him hike with the dogs? Like, what do you mean letting him?
Yeah.
Like, number one, I get a few free moment to hang out and watch maybe right. some trash TV for a second.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm thinking and learning that people have never let him be like alone. Like,
let him be a human.
Let him just be in the woods. And they've kind of created anxiety for me, which who wants that? I don't want him going, you can't go work out in the woods. You know, it's like who wants that relationship? So if Bam's gonna fuck up, he's gonna fuck up. He knows what he's gonna lose if he fucks up.
It sounds like he's finding peace though. And yeah. I don't feel like you've ever had peace your entire life.
And I just let him just go do his thing.
Harmony,
you know?
Which is one thing that was like, we have such a harmonious day. Harmony is what I needed. And
just spending time like alone with the dogs, and he takes them for hikes, like things that, you know, at 40 degree weather, Pennsylvania is very cold for me. So
yeah.
I'm not hiking at 5 a.m. with them. I don't want to.
So, but he
goes and does that, and it gives them time to bond with the dogs, and it gets him, you know, they have their own little relationship, which I love.
Yeah. I'm starting to think, so, you know what? Maybe the interventionist really thought that I was schizophrenic, because some of the stories that I tell just seems like a nut in treatment. Like I was telling somebody, I shipped my purple Lamborghini to North Korea because Kim Jong-il likes sports cars and he wouldn't let me drive it around, but he let me park it at the airport. And then Iggy Pop played my wedding and Billy Idol cut the roof off of the Lamborghini. He's probably like, this guy is fucking batshit crazy. But if you look it up on YouTube, you're going to find that
you've
shit.
You've lived 20 lives.
He really has. Yeah. I mean, the people that he knows are insane.
I feel like
this guy's talking about shipping his Lamborghini for Kim Jong-il. What? Nobody goes to North Korea and he probably doesn't even have a Lamborghini. Fuck you. It's all true.
I feel like the reason why you're so happy right now is because you actually don't have to put on a show every day.
Yeah.
You don't have to please anybody else but yourself and Danny. Yeah. And you're actually just being able to be Bam. And I think you're finding who you are now.
And I have a strict diet. The only thing I eat is pussy meat.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean, that doesn't sound like a bad diet at all. It's not a bad diet. And I mean, I don't blame
sushi.
You. It's like filet mignon over here, you know?
Filet lobster.
Are you eating healthier, though, and stuff like
everything.
That? I'm sure Danny
has
you.
Once my leg, my He's body actually feels a healthy so eater. Good He's now just... that all I want to do is eat right. And I really don't, I never thought the day would come to where I would stop, because it's always free if you're at a nightclub. You wouldn't do a bump in the bathroom? Sure. You know, and then, you know, you get really addicted to it.
Not these days. You'll die in the bathroom.
I've been on the ground on this rug with a fucking microscope looking for crumbs, you know, and I'm like, I'm never going to stop. It's just a matter of time I'm going to do it again. Now, don't feel that way. You could put it right in front of me. I'll flush it down the toilet. Don't want any.
But you know, like people always say, forget the haters online too. Like, well, I can't believe you're fucking Bam. Blah, blah. Number one, mind your business. Fuck who I want.
Right.
And number two, like I wasn't going to leave him as a person. Like I'm a good person, a people person. And I, you know, the people that I believe we're connected to, and when you have a connection, it was whether we were going to last sexually or not, or what booty call or not, I still wanted to be his friend. And like when he, especially in Hollywood, like it's so hard and to find normal people in this world as it is. But when he did have to go to Pennsylvania and we had the 2 days together, which people don't know, the judge gave him 2 days with me before I had to leave. And the attorney, because I was upset, and the attorney said, you know, you guys have to have him in by Sunday. And this was Friday.
Yes.
So we had a couple of two really good days.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, like, he just said, just don't leave me here because they're going to shuffle me.
Well,
like
the judge
he knew that
says,
if he stayed in the system, we weren't going to be able to see each other.
With
so.
The little tiff with my brother, when we went to court, we flew in from California. My Bentley was there parked at the LAX airport because we thought we were coming right back. We put the dogs up. And he's like, you're sentenced to stay in Pennsylvania for 3 months or something.
I'm like, did I hear that right?
I'm like, but Your Honor, we live in California. My car's in the airport. Our dogs are there, and my brother lives at my house. So he's like, ain't my problem. Yeah, it's my problem. It's a fucking big one. So now
the judge basically
said,
tell your girlfriend to go get your car. I was like,
I'm like, what do you want me to do? Float around of Motel Sixes around fucking Pennsylvania all day? Why am I sentenced to be in Pennsylvania? All my stuff, I moved to California.
Yeah.
Well, tough shit. Like, yeah, it's very tough.
So that's
shit.
When you know you like somebody, because basically I had to fly back to LA by myself. I had a lot to think about. And then I went to my best friend Heather's house in Hollywood and La Brea. And I'm like, and his good friend Dre, you know, a few good people. I said, what do I do? And they're like, go get him. He had 8 days, and he said, if you don't come get me on the 8th day, they're going to keep me here. So basically, everyone gathered, got his Bentley. They checked the oil. They made sure it was fine. I grabbed the dogs. Heather packed me up. Dre packed me up.
Two dogs in the Bentley
and me, and enough to get across.
That's a TV show.
Yeah, it took me 5 days to get there.
It made me appreciate everything again. We'll be on a road trip, and I'll just like pull over on the side of the road. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just appreciating this view for a moment.
Yeah.
Like, you got to understand.
Probably sees it different than we do.
I was locked away. Like, the only outside I got to see was a fucking barbed wire fence to smoke a cigarette.
Brutal.
God, it's like prison.
It's such a dick tease because the beach is literally right there. But
this doesn't feel helpful.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah, they make it seem all nice on the brochure. It's right by the beach in Delray. Yeah, but I'm locked up and the beach is right there and you won't even let me go to it.
That is so sad.
Yeah.
So you guys are engaged now?
We are.
Is there going to be a wedding?
Yeah, yes, but we wanted to.
Okay, I want to be the flower girl.
Perfect. I don't have one.
And Jay gets to be the ring bearer.
Yay.
Yeah, and you know, it would be.
No, we don't want to take it from Phoenix.
We really want, you know, like Yellow Wolf or Tokyo Hotel or something to play during it. And that's not an easy thing because you need the lighting and the stage and all that. So it's not something that's going to happen soon. We're going to plan this really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened, you know, it was just a fun day. And then I forget that people zoom in on us now.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to take the ring off, even though it was like a cute little antique. He made me pick his hand. He's like, pick a hand.
Yeah, tell me how it happened.
Yeah, it was really cute. So there was this house in Pennsylvania, Mrs. Pamela Duff, that they have, that has a waterfall and a lot of potential to live.
Hold on, sum it up. The Duff family, Ed Duff is a pro skateboarder for Tony Hawk's company, Birdhouse. Yeah. And me and him are friends, and when I had nowhere to go, and I'm sentenced to stay in Pennsylvania, Pamela's, and I can't, like, even go home, he said, come stay with it, because they own Duff Electric. They have a bunch of
properties.
And you
couldn't stay in your own house, or you didn't want to?
So they took us in, and they had this really nice house that they wanted to, that they just own, but it needs a lot of work, and it's right on the Delaware River in this cool town called New Hope, which is like this cool.
But you're going to leave
town
out a fun detail, and the go girls ahead need a detail.
Yeah, we need the girly details.
Yeah, details. I'm a butterfly mom. I raise butterflies. I've been doing it for like 9 years. Love. I want to be a bee mom one day too. So I saw potential at this place. He was talking skate parks. I saw the waterfall. Pamela just would love for us to live there because she's ready for another project.
Right.
And I see in the front, I'm like, ooh, that'd be a cool butterfly garden, you know? And I'm like looking around because it used to be a restaurant. So there's a lot of potential, but could be a little crazy. So as we're like driving, which I thought when we were in the Poconos, I was in the worst outfit, this purple jumpsuit with a beanie, and he takes me to this like heart-shaped hotel, and I'm like, not in this outfit, please, Lord, no. I was thinking like, I hope he's not being like romantic and a weird, this heart, you know what I mean? It was like heart-shaped. I'm like, okay, not looking too good. Long story short, it was that night that we left that place. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened. So I was like, oh, cool. I was like, that was fun. So we're like driving, and he literally goes, oh my gosh, do you know? And it was pitch black. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And he's like,
well, we were just having such a good road trip,
so
listening to all of our favorite music. And I noticed that was the house that we wanted to fix up and everything. So I just pulled over, got
in the butterfly garden.
I had these rings in my hand. Once I kissed her at the Duff property, I threw the rings near the waterfall. They're still sitting in there somewhere. But we haven't been back long enough to go find them again.
Okay, so he proposed to you with the rings.
Pick one,
and then threw them.
Yeah.
And
such a bam move.
And I'm like, okay. And then he like sat up against this little wall, and he's like, will you marry me? And I'm like, are you fucking around? Like, are you kidding or whatever? Because we were like sitting in that little butterfly garden. Aww. And it was just like super cute. Aww. And romantic. He knows I'm not like all blingy and need anything crazy. So it was just really fun. And I was like, well, duh. Yeah. Like, if you're being serious, you know, we kept it quiet for a little bit. But then, of course, those little people out there got a hold of my finger and were zooming in. So they started asking questions. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I should say something that a really good friend of mine asked. So I told her yes. And then that's how we know Leanne with us. Mm-hmm. So you're in good hands with her because she's like, can I talk about it? And I just looked at him. I'm like, well, I'd rather someone talk about it from us before they start talking
before
about it.
Before the rumors
as
start.
You know.
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, let's talk to her. And here we are. It's been crazy.
So what does 2024 have for Bam and Danny? What do you guys have planned? I know you guys are doing all these horror cons and
we're booked till like
signings.
October, which is exciting.
Skate or die and save the world or what we
can skate,
of it
we
tour.
Save. Well, I'm the big animal
save the
saver,
world or what
so
we can of it tour.
So like skate he skates and I'm like check, you know, we were in New Orleans and the people are just walking over the pit bull. I'm in all glam.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna cry. Glam's gone. I'm like holding the pit bull. Oh. He was all broken.
And everybody walking past the dog, yeah, like he's so just sad. Searching for food, starving to death. They're just like looking, they didn't want anything to do with it. And she gets out. She's all done up like this because we have to go to a horror con or Comic-Con.
I just pick the dog up.
And we're in the ghetto at the skate park under a bridge. They were probably like, who is this she? Chick that just pulled all up in a purple fucking like, Bentley to save like, this dog with fleas all over
it? Don't care. But then, you know, the skater community, people don't understand how rad they are.
Yeah.
So these two, like, rad chicks come over. They're skater, like, do you need chick, help? Yeah. These skater aww. Chicks. And I said, well, I just called the SPCA. And she happened to have a 561 number, West Palm, me. I had the same area code. So she scooped him right up, took him out of hell. And it's a good balance because I'm not a skateboarder, but I can kind of fit in anywhere. And, you know, the skate parks we go to, unfortunately, aren't very, you know, they're not in the best areas. So you see a lot.
And you always find weed there.
Well, yeah, true. But, you know, you see like the cats and the dogs, and it's sad because to bring up the world we live in, everyone wants to play pickleball and tennis and basketball when the skate parks are like in the middle of bad places that you really don't want to take your 6-year-old after 5 o'clock. So those are the places that we're hitting up and opening my eyes to this world needs to change.
And we'll be sitting there fucking planning shit. And I'll be like, I thought the rule is no phones. Hold on. I'm saving a goat from fucking Idaho right now. I'm like, give me that. You really are doing that.
Yeah, we have like a phone thing, but I'm like, hold on. I have to pledge on this elephant real quick.
That is hilarious.
It's true. I'm like, most of the time I'm on my phone, I'm just yelling at the mayor of LA or I'm screaming with PETA. So
what do you do? I'm calling 911. Why?
Petaluma ducks.
Because this guy got arrested for trying to save ducks. He's getting a trespass charge. Yeah. What's up with that Wayne situation?
Wayne and Zoe Rooster. You're going to see. Hopefully the Today Show here soon. They're ready.
I love that. Yeah. I want to tell you guys, when Jay and I first got together, we immediately went out on tour. And it's the best bonding experience for a couple. It will either make or break you.
Yeah.
You guys are either meant to be together or not. Once you guys are in a car, fucking traveling all the time, like working together, that's when you really figure out what you guys are about. And you fall in love fast because you get to know somebody so personally and so quickly.
Totally. And there's a lot of things that I didn't know. If we show up in Indiana and I have a bunch of friends there to do a Comic-Con and we're only there for 2 days, like she'll be like, I know you guys got to see him and I'm sorry, but we're having fucking date night tonight because, you know, I'm like, cool. You know, I never had the courage to say
I'm like,
that.
It's 8 p.m. Like, it's
everybody
over.
Come along to date night.
Yeah. I'm like, it's 8 p.m. We're done. He's like, another hour. Nope. I'm in bed by 10. Dateline's on. I need Keith Morrison.
I think he needs you because nobody has ever really been able to not tell tame you no him. Or like, I don't even know if the word, I think it's you guys run wild together.
We do.
You just have more structured wildness.
Structured wild.
Yeah. I'm sitting at the hotel. It's 10 o'clock and I'm just like, you have tamed the Apollo.
I'm like, Apollo?
What is that supposed to mean? You've tamed the Apollo. What do you mean? You've got me in bed by 10. I'm very impressed. You've tamed the Apollo.
And then you really just go to sleep, but you don't have sleeping problems or anything?
No, I was always on so much trazodone and Seroquel and I thought I needed that to sleep, but at the end of the day, I'm so exhausted from skating and going to the gym and, you know, having such a fun, productive day that I sleep on time.
Are you 100% sober? Like
yeah.
Raw dog in life?
Just a couple puffs of weed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's sober to me. Her. Yeah.
Totally.
That's sober to me.
And he has a medical card, people. Relax.
Yeah. I don't think weed. There's everybody has a different definition of sober. I'm completely straight
team
edge.
Water and skateboarding is my medicine.
Someone just pulled that the other day. They're like, well, then you're not 100% sober.
No, there's different levels.
Like, he's fine.
There's California sober and there's straight edge. I'm straight edge. My husband's California sober. He'll drink and he smokes weed all day. You know? So some people have to have a vice, you know? I would love to have a vice, but my anxiety, the way it's set up, I can't. So it's like I have to just...
Skateboarding and pussy meat, my vice.
See, weed for me is something that just levels my brain out. So that's why
I'm never going to call a vagina again. It's strictly pussy meat from now on.
That was the word of the month when we first started dating at the restaurants. I was like, can we not say that in the middle of 4 p.m.? Jeez.
Aww.
He'd be like, is her pussy meat on the menu? I'm like, oh my God. I'm just going to go to the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Shock value. That's what I'm after. You know how to handle it.
I think you guys are fucking adorable. And I love seeing him so happy. He like really that really is. Makes me happy to see him.
Well,
just
I'm just
smiling.
Learning. Yeah. Learning like you guys and the fans that have loved him so much are teaching me like where he really was. I mean, I knew he had some things going on, but when I'm, you know, the best part about working with him and seeing you know, helping run the show and make sure he's downstairs and the fan, you know, I say hi to them. They're so, most of the time they've been really nice to me.
Yeah.
I know it's just the trolls. His fans that are in line are very sweet to me. They're not,
Bam's iconic.
They're not coming up trying to spit in my face or whatever, but you know, they're teaching me so much about him. And I love all the people that are coming up and saying that you're helping them get through recovery, or they're just so proud of you to be back on the skateboard. It's amazing to see the skateboarding community. They're so stoked to see him back on the skateboard.
There's so many people rooting for
I'm learning like what a badass skateboarder he was. And
you have to watch all the CKYs. You have to make her watch
Slumber one day and do that.
You have to watch them because then you'll really
see like bits and pieces.
I see bits and pieces.
The last one she saw, she's like, so hold on. Ryan Dunn was drunk at the bar in Westchester. And
I saw that one.
He's like all drunk. He's like, if we were in Iceland tomorrow, I would have gone off that 40-foot waterfall. I'm like, but you didn't last time because you wussed out. Yeah, but if we were there tomorrow, I would do it. I'm like, sign this right here. Next day, he wakes up, and I'm like, you signed the contract, and
that
I bought
crazy.
Eight tickets to Iceland. He's like, son of a bitch. So we get there. We didn't even scope anything out. I found a random-ass barrel on the side of the road, sealed it up, pushed him off head first by accident. She's like,
I'm like, you did that to Ryan? I'm like,
you pushed
Ryan.
Him in. What if something bad happened? I'm like, we really didn't think about that. We were fucking
I looked
at
him, I'm
kids.
Like, that was fine.
So you guys are fucking crazy.
What's your relationship with Billy Vallo now?
It's good. We saw him at his last tour in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
we went up with Jimmy Pop from the Bloodhound Gang.
That was a fun day.
Oh, I love the Bloodhound Gang.
It was rad catching up with him. But
Quiet.
You know, the last time... The first time he went to treatment, we were at the Chateau Marmont. And we just got a deal signed for him to be on Warner. They got a really good deal. And he was drinking a lot, and he knew I had a prescription to Adderall. And he kept asking me for one. And I'm like, dude, I've given you enough. And he's like, I'm like, you know what? Just because it's you, I'm not going to say no. So he like started hyperventilating, and an ambulance came, and that was the first time he went to treatment. And I think Warner Brothers found out that I was the one that had my prescription that he kept asking for, which kind of sucks because, you know, I didn't drink at all. I didn't drink till I was 23 years old and all that. And when I was hanging out with him in Helsinki, Finland, I was so mesmerized by just how rad he was that when we stayed in the same hotel together, he opened up the mini bar and cracked open a beer. I'm like, you're just drinking in the day. I thought people only do that at nighttime.
That's
crazy. You want one? He's like, I'm not going to let you do it alone. So that was the first time I've been introduced
crazy,
to like
right?
day drinking.
That's
and then
crazy.
Tables turn to where I'm the fucking bad.
When did you start using drugs?
Probably about.
Tell the truth.
I'd say 24 or 25.
That's
well, no,
wild.
I know when.
I would have thought it would have been so younger.
We were in Davos, Switzerland doing this thing called the Winter Jam for MTV. Sum 41 was playing, and this band called Guano Apes, and Jackass was there to host the whole thing. And I remember we were staying at this nice hotel in the Alps, and somebody like started putting these lines out on the table, and that was the first time I tried it. And I had a massage booked. Right after that, I'm like,
oh God,
I got a massage. All right, if everybody else is doing it, I'll do it. And I did it. I was getting a massage, like, I'm gonna be fucking done. I can't even relax.
Oh, man.
God, yeah. I couldn't imagine my first fucking bump of coke and I'm getting massaged.
Yeah.
I would go crazy. There's no way.
But never,
that's
always
wild.
Terrified of a needle, never messed with heroin or anything.
I was surprised.
What's
to hear
the
that
hardest
too.
Drugs you've done?
Probably just. Meth and coke, anything upper, you know, like
shocking.
I don't know why people would do heroin or Valium and show up to a bar and fall asleep into their beer. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I used to be one of those. I loved Xanax.
Dope fiend lean.
Okay. Yeah, Xanax was my shit.
Yeah.
Love it.
I was an upper person.
Anna Nicole. I used to call myself Xanax.
Like I would only take that if I was on like an airplane.
At least you owned it.
Yeah.
But man, you have one beer on a Xanax, you're fucking Larry.
Oh,
man.
Lit.
Done.
Just lit.
You
it's a party.
There's the closet problems.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on the podcast, and I look forward to seeing you guys just blossom. And I really feel like this is a new friendship for all of us too, because my husband loves you, and I love you.
So
yeah,
I already told Jen and Jesse. We need to. Us three can be on the bus, and you guys can get your own bus.
Are you guys gonna come see us on tour?
We are.
For sure.
San Antonio.
Yay! Come to a show. We always have so much fun, and it's just, I have the girls have their own bus, the boys have their own bus, and I know all the band would love to see you guys.
And I'll steal Melissa. I want to let them know Melissa Quinn, Michael Quinn. they love you. So aww, the boys will be together. We'll steal her. Yeah. Melissa actually manifested this. I love her.
She's love been that.
Saying that you and I would get along great. And that was literally that. 2 days later. I had your phone number. I'm like, this is crazy.
So, I love it. I'm so happy that we were able to work this out.
Are John and Jameson in?
No. Well, hopefully Jenna can come. But yeah, Melissa and Michael will go meet her then. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming. What you want to shout out your social so everybody, I'm sure everybody knows where to find you.
Oh, but they
you guys
know go me, ahead. Danbury Official. They I'm are
Captain
there.
Cream Stain or Captain Crumbly or I'm something. Good. I don't know.
Just save a dog.
Just Google Bam Margera. You guys will find everything.
I think maybe the fans are realizing like they wanted to see me every now and then, but I'm just going to blast them with shelter dogs. So please adopt.
I watched your story the other day and it was all dogs. I was like, I love this girl.
I go through my moments where I'm like, share. And I'm like, calm down.
Everybody wants to give shout outs and plugs everything. I give a plug to Curiosity Donuts from fucking Doylestown. They're awesome.
I love that.
They only open on Wednesdays because they make them so fresh.
Oh my God. We'll have to try it on tour. We'll go on tour. We'll literally say Bam recommended this and do a whole TikTok on it. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, Black Rifle Coffee, rock and roll.
Aww. Thank you guys so much for coming.
You're stuck with us.
I appreciate you.
Me too.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.